Thank you, Rosie, very much for that warm welcome. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Lovely to meet you all and great to listen to your poems earlier. Really fantastic. Okay. First one I'm going to read you is called This Is Not a Gospel Song. This is not a gospel song, but it could be. Where there was a sunbeam, let me pause, let me stand in it, moored by the soles of my naked feet. For there was a sunbeam once that poured through an upstairs window of a wooden house of prayers, vibrating in the frequency of bats and calypsos. This is not a travelogue, but it could be. Where there is an airwave, let me glide, let me ride on it, become a swift over ocean floors. For there was an airwave once that dropped me like a consonant in a house by the sea where the bricks expanded with the growing bones of children. This is not a ululation, but it could be. Where there is a hallelujah, let me pour, let me drink on it, to the passages of migrants, a libation, for this is a praise song now going on behind this door, where the palms and I are dancing in the memory of sunbeams. This is not a gospel song, but it could be. Thank you. I'm going to read a couple of poems from my first collection, which is called Limbo Lands, which was published around about 1999. And the first poem is called Warrior, and it was written for my grandmother, who was a Madeiran woman, a third generation Portuguese woman who lived in Guyana. Her husband was an African man, and she brought up lots of mixed race children. And this is for her, Warrior. You passed me the sword and wept, knowing how your own mother had passed you sheaves of corn and you had had to borrow scythes to slice the undergrowth. The scars were on your feet still from battering carts clear through fields of stubbled cane. So you lined mine with banana leaves and reeds pulled from the riverside. Bound them with that mud whose gullies bore the trace of so many warriors. The Yoruba, the Akan, the Ashanti. You sprinkled me with water made holy by the priest, but in your back room charged the spirits with my safety. Invoked Yamanja and Kali, and sacrificed Demetrius, your cockerel, with one quick, sharp slice of the throat. Recorded into the praise songs of my leaving was the news that I left not as a bride. My charging from the tribe was that of warrior scout, and many more would follow, some on the arms of borrowed men who promised them a northern Eldorado. How were you to know that times would change beyond all comprehension? That the time for swords too would pass, would fly back in one short generation. And again, we need the time for words, for praise songs to the elders, memories to weave within the skins of our children. Last night I dreamed of you. You had crossed the water, just like Yamanja did. But this time, what you passed me was my pen. Seer, and I'm now wearing her gold bangles and her gold necklace, which are like really like over 100 years old. So it's just a really lovely warm feeling. The next one is something I haven't read for a long time, you wouldn't know because you know it anyway. But with all the things going on in England at the moment, you know, like sending people back, and I found this one that I'd written all those years ago called Solomon's Wisdom. Solomon, wise in the ways of the world, come settle this thing for a confused woman. They're spitting out thing about repatriate, shoving all we through the departure gate. Man, this thing, it's spinning in my head, making me so dizzy like a fall down dead. You see, I is an assimilation, my one foot white, The other one brown, my two-eyed blue, and my belly button color is vermilion. You see, Solomon, my old granddad, he owned plantation. My old grandma, she worked plantation. She black as the night, he kind of off-white, while we change her children range from ivory to brown. So I'm thinking hard about the repatriate, wondering which piece of me gonna go through which gate. My one foot ready for go run to the sun, while the other one say, Ian, leave in town. My right hand hold on to the fatherland, while my blue eye my road to the motherland. So Solomon man, tell me what to do, this mixed-up woman in front of you. Solomon sighed, and his wiped his eye, he said, I won't be able to help you, boy, and they've asked me to leave as well. This is a woman. I was thinking about Independence Day, 4th of July. I went to see the Martha Collins exhibition this morning and the Kennedy homestead yesterday. So it's all kind of going around in my head, all these things. But this, like that, is a poem I wrote just about women being assertive. This is the woman. This is the woman who foot bottomed hard from tracking, backtracking, walk backyard. This is the woman who told her out, wrung and flapped from the running about, who foot bottom hard, walked backyard. This is the woman, hips broad and wide, from carrying a bucket and carrying child, who told her out from the running about, who foot bottom hard, walked backyard. This is the woman, hold hole, dig ground, plant seed, rake ground, sieve stone, fetch water, mile upon mile, carrying a bucket and carrying child, hoof foot bottom hard, walk backyard. Till someone take a stone, and they cut she down. Someone take a stone and they cut she down. This is the woman who foot bottom hard from carrying a bucket and carrying child. This is the woman who toe turn out, run round and flat from your running about. Does someone take a stone and they cut she down, beat your belly back and side. They cut she down, beat your belly back and side. They cut she down. But you know how they say the worm can turn. David beat Goliath with one small stone. So this is the woman who get up, rise up, hold hold, dig ground, plant seed, rake ground, fine stone, high stone, fire stone, say, not one of you can knock me down, no, not one of you can knock me down. This is the woman who foot bottom hard, walk front yard with a bucket and a stone. This is the woman, this is the woman, this is the woman. Few poems from my last collection, 60 Years of Loving. I'm 62 now, so there we go. These started off as love poems, which I wanted to be kind of like a nay and nay, kind of really erotic things that didn't happen, unfortunately. I didn't have enough experience to run out of ideas. There are a few love ones in there, but the poems grew to kind of encompass different kinds of love. You know, about love of country, love of music, love of family. So it's a kind of a bigger thing than I thought it would be. This is a gentle one called This Morning We Were a Picasso. This morning we were a Picasso. Legs, bronze cylinders, hair daubed on a pillow of alizarin crimson. Your cheekbones were geometric planes, your Roman breasts discs of gold, small chariots reeling on runnels of blood and dust. The morning sun splintered the coins of our navels, neat half moons dreaming of re-entering eternity. This morning we were Picassos, right angle hues, except for your precious eyes. They were jewels, Van Goghs, a sea of pupils. These next two celebrate my love of music. I went to a concert once. No, it wasn't a concert, it was in a pub. And this guy who was playing the guitar, he was just really into it. And he was playing near the Alan's like a hurricane. And he was so into it that he didn't notice his fingers were bleeding. He just totally got carried away with the playing of his guitar. So I wrote this poem and I called it Stigmata Rock. His passion bends his body like a wave, folding his guitar into the cave of his chest, stretching his fingers like strings, raw catgut, twisted fishing lines, caught in Neil Young's Like a Hurricane. It is a trapped eel, flailing to be free, to be flung on a shore where there is peace, away from this ecstasy of pain that's entered its incongruous Magritte self, into this backroom pub littered with the casings of the soul. A seabed of guitars and amplifiers, octopi wires looping, whilst he, the navigator, beneath the spool of light, is barely aware of the circle of eyes, or the hush that descends, or the blood that streams corpuscular red between the wheels of his fingers. I really shouldn't say this because my husband's sitting over there, but he's quite hot and all. So. When all the music's played and the crowds have gone, here in my skin and bone are left these broken songs. They're homeless on the highway, strangers on the road, seeking friends of blackbirds and staring at the moon. They've travelled far from mornings, cut right through the pain, praying for someone to whistle up some kind of tune. Bring me banjos, folk guitars, harmonicas and flutes, violins and mandolins, I can't go on alone. The traveller alone is a traveller unknown, and broken songs are poems seeking flesh and bone. My labelling's not fancy, I forgot all my sticky things at home. So we've just got notebook paper, which is very unprofessional. Anyway, this is a serious one for an Afghan woman poet. Nadia, Nadia, I will repeat your name to break like waves, a tidal refrain washing again and again in the wake of your silenced tongue. Laugh at the morning, you wrote, shut the door on the night. Words of hope that cradle your fear of a place called home, where the blow that felled you like a tree still flies free. You were a warrior, fighting with fists of verbs, etching your right to life on stolen scraps of paper, the book open at the kitchen table whilst you stirred the pot and held your small son's smile. Nadia. Between us lie continents, deserts of imagined worlds woven, spun from dry winds, dust and stones of a land men stalk. But even as the heads of the Buddhas roll, their sacred dust implodes, becomes the air they breathe. Nadia, you will never be silenced. Names and words are long forgotten while yours rises still. Sing like kites. That poem came after I read an article in the Independent about Nadia, that the person in that poem who was murdered by her husband. But before that, she struggled to write, and her whole life was just trying to be a poet, and she couldn't live to do so. This is a bit lighter, this one. You'll know Bruce Willis, and this is one for my husband. You'll know Bruce Willis, I think this as we shared tea and biscuits and you watched the birds through the glass dancing their fandangled thing by the nuts. You dressed for winter, not a good look. Woolly hat still on from when you walked the dog, and your fingers are knuckled and raw, not from punching terrorists or swinging from tower blocks, but from wrestling the coal and cutting logs with a handsaw. I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't fancy a tussle with Bruce, Die Hard 1, all sweet sweat and muscle, though not in my nicely made up bed with the Egyptian cotton from Debenhams. Maybe the dining table where you labored long and hard with the sanding. Anyway, who really wants to die hard when you could live soft? I always did like the touch of your hands. Okay, going back to a historical poem, I've got an old trunk that used to belong to my grandmother that came from Madeira, went to Guyana and ended up in England and is now in Wales. This is the story of that trunk, and it's also a story of what people's beliefs and altars. Because my mum was a Catholic, as we all were when we were children, and this is also a little bit about the history of our combined, you know, Portuguese-African migration thing called homelands. My mother's altar has migrated, travelled uncomplainingly in a Madeira trunk, once bound from the Azores to the Indies, sailed past the island of Goree, where my father's bones had waited, shackled by marrow and Ashanti prayers. In the new world, a cathedral of sugarcane stretched above the fields, knees bend in the heat and mud, learning about hosannas at noon. From a gully, a half-remembered tune whittled from homegrown flutes. 1950s, a homemade altar, timbers stippled with wood ants, a crucifix on the wall, Christ nailed, beside him Good Friday palms, the yard flowers, his American portrait, Christ knocking at the door. The Madeira trunk sits beneath the window, taking in the breeze, the smell of ground masala, smoking cane fields, the sound of children growing. He remembers the Atlantic. Inside him, Portuguese linen, folded, stiff with starch, a wedding veil. We spoke in tongues, splintered Latin and Creole, torn from gods, dismembered. Yamaya, Mary, Jesu Christo. Obiamen slit roosters' throats and danced till whips gave way to bicycles, to motor cars on streets with English names in Dutch towns, New Amsterdam, Corkadams, Paramaribo. 2010, altar, Southeast England. Screws from home base, apostles, Our Lady's blue smile, her son's bleeding heart, postcards of Wells Cathedral, scented candles from the garden centre. Wales, 2013. The Madeira trunk sits waiting for its cracking skin of splintered oak and tin to be distressed a shabby sheep. Its pewter fixings breaking free of mustard yellow paint, brushed by my grandmother's young hands, filled with linen, rosaries, hope. Now in its dark belly hold a new cargo, old photographs and books, certificates, my mother's hair from 1956, bridesmaids' dresses hold their breath, remembering those other passages, Atlantic waters, souls, cheek by jowl, bone to soul. He sits beneath the window, listening to the ceaseless song, a Welsh river running, the rhythm of the wind in the trees. There are footsteps on the gravel, laughter, Gorada. picture from that time. A few years ago, I can't remember exactly how many years ago, I saw a beautiful African woman on TV from Mali, and she was talking, she was an artist, and she was talking about the presence of the Islamists in Mali. Terrible, terrible tales of what they did to musicians and artists. And so I wrote this poem called Through Blue Eyes to Mali. And in the poem as well, there's a connection with Salif Keita, because when I was introduced to the music of Salif Keita many years ago, there was just an instant connection that I felt. And my father being probably third generation, fourth generation African, who knows these things precisely. But anyway, my father enters the poem as well, because he was also a musician. So it's kind of a lot of things going on in this poem, but anyway, it's called Through Blue Eyes to Mali for Salif Keita. I heard they slice the fingers of musicians and the tongues of singers. If there was a moment when the world changed, it was then. That beautiful woman on TV bringing Mali's open wounds to bleed and hard-backed chairs. You might well break a linnet, tear its limbs and feathers from its fragile throat. Africa, I am a Caribbean child. My father bore your music in his bones and shared it on verandas when the day was done, right through Billy Graham and Elvis. Demerara windows, housewives rocking, men lazing on plantation chairs, woven and stripped from the backs of men. Picking tunes from gospel through to river blues, his grey eyes watched a shifting world that bore him blue-eyed daughters. If he knew a song of Africa, he didn't say. Those guitar strings bled blues too deep to dwell on, bodies settled for perching the long ends of days. But in all the choirs I ever sung, and all the incense swung, in all the Latin litanies and Pentecostal tongues, no fire burned as wildly as that winter afternoon. A song from Mali found me, where these feet had led me, where the winds had blown me, Babel. Where I swept the table bare of sacraments and testaments and things which didn't fit. I was not to know I was preparing that calabash bowls that bathed us from that river running red were living gourds in Africa's forgotten earth. Oh, fathers, you anointed me with waters from the wells. You stumbled through the cities of the bells, all the time believing those stories that you told were everlasting truth and nothing but the truth, and with those lies you stole away my youth. But somehow sonic passages still reverberated. A caravanserai of longing rode the marrow in my father's broken bones. His finger on guitar strings echoed the prologue of a past he didn't know. And when that voice from Mali came, I didn't know the words, but recognized the tune, the honey pouring on my splintered soul, the longing. And these words I write, I score them on the page and know if 400 years of dying could not rip out a heart, no knife will slice the voice, no knife will slice the voice, that songs will find a rhythm all their own. Mm. Thank you. How am I doing for time? Timekeepers?
Another 10 minutes.
Okay. Right, how can I describe this one? When we were little, we weren't allowed to swear or say naughty words, and that meant really naughty words that had anything to do with the body. But men's willies were called lowlies, we knew this, so my sisters and I could get around saying it by jumping up and down the bed, just going hi, low, hi, little, you know, playing around with words. So that was just, you know, being kind of contentious. But also, if you said any bad words, like I said, as anything, you had your mouth washed up with soap. We used to get licks and preaching and all sorts of really, really strict bringing up, you know. And so this is just about that. When a friend of mine told me about sex, and I told my mum, and she told the girl's mum, and she really got beaten. She got licks because she told me about sex because it's a lie. So it's about that. And it's called Them Go Walk Bush. Them Go Walk Bush. That's what they say back home, and lovey-doveyness going on, and people holding hand and thing, like them boyfriend and girlfriend strolling the botanic gardens, laughing quiet and leaning up behind palm tree. Only Lord, when we find out the true reality, how that loving thing depend on holding the man lowly, Lord, my mother bust my ass bad for repeating nasty things daftly next door, tell me. And after licks and the mouth wash out with soap, it's 3 Our Fathers and 20 Hail Marys as punish they punish me. I'm a big fan of Leonard Cohen, and he does appear 2 or 3 times in this collection. So this is a poem called Oh Mr. Cohen. And it's also, it mentions a friend of mine who died in a really terrible way, a fellow poet in France, who I met when myself and Eileen Sheehan, who some of you might know from Kerry, we both we met a few years ago and did a woman writers tour in Europe. And Chantal Lamartine was one of the poets who took part. And she had this terrible death where she actually fell down a well and nobody found her for a long time. Beautiful, beautiful poet. Anyway, this poem is for her and for artists and for Lorca, because she wrote poems about Lorca, inspired by Lorca, as did Leonard Cohen. So the whole kind of cycle, you know, is in this poem. Oh, Mr. Cohen. We could have had such a fine time if we stepped out, me on your arm like a geisha, the world around us dancing like monarch butterflies. You looking sharp with a hat and your neat step over the puddles, stopping to contemplate the weight of the soul in water and how love can rise like a bubble and sink like a stone. The perfect phrase hangs just out of reach. A baby's foot so soft we stroke its sole and toes like cherries pulled into our mouths with the juices streaming. But oh, what a baptism over our fine clothes. Our friends will love us any road, waving from the party with cigarettes and wine, their articulate fingers, Neruda and Walcott, Chantal, Lamartine. And my heart is bursting with happiness. As all the time the conversation flows, I'm alive. And Chantal did not break her neck down the well, but is writing to me still, my little firefly, my Caribbean songbird. And from this cold white tomb where I assemble these notes, Lorca peels himself from the walls and says, it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the sacrifice. Finish with 2 poems. One's called Cwmpegrau, which is where I live in Wales, place of stones, which has been translated into Welsh. We've got any Welsh speakers here? Yeah, Welsh readers?
No.
Jolly good, because I don't speak it either. But anyway, it's on the back of this, and there's a few free ones, so if anybody would like a copy, just come and ask. This is the English version. Cwmpegrau, place of stones. Where your neighbour's string bury is not necessarily home. This girl can walk, my grandmother say, and walk I walk from Guyana to West Wales, and leave I leave that place of oceans and slave bones for brought down cottages and hills where people still pray. And come, I come with my forked tongue, split syntax of English and street Creole, to wander lanes with no names and no map, where even sat-nav work hard to find, being a limbo beyond satellite, beyond stars. And stars and dreams of stars and songs call these Welsh from home to cross oceans to a continent of the imagination. And is peel this country peel like onion? Garden cups my cottage in its fists of seasons, caring nothing for my ignorance of names, pronunciation, language. And history running in the stream right there beneath the stone. Mill worker, foot bottom still indent. Ghost voice talking story wild, catch a fire, how he catching boat with intention, get the hell out of this place. If not for him to know, some girl would bring his story right back here and tell him tales of sugarcane and captains tracing latitude and longitude with quadrant, quill and octopus ink. His laugh he would laugh, true, true, whilst that stream keep gurgling, stones keep tumbling, underscore the footfall of my feet. End with a little poem called Burgess River Rap, which is Burgess River's three main rivers in Guyana, the Burgess, the Demerara and the Essequibo, and I live next to the Burgess River. And I stole the Swanee River, you know, the way down by the Swanee, yeah? But I stole it, so it's going away down by the Burgess River, but I'm not going to sing it because I'm crap at singing. But I'll just leave that bit and I'll go to the next bit. And it's just in honour of the river and the whole thing to do with boats and ships and slavery and history and everything. She's sleeping still, she's sleeping still, running to the ocean is a bitter pill. She's sleeping still, she's sleeping still, running to the ocean is a bitter pill. Sitting by the side of the river, men, heads full of Pepsi and rum and beer, riverbound mud brown water splash over the banks with a calabash. Through crab and coconut, rain and sun, ships sailed in, men with guns coming from the ocean, people in the hold, cargo, just cargo, like sugar and spice, tobacco and gold, just cargo. She's sleeping still, running to the ocean is a bitter pill. She's sleeping still, running to the ocean is a bitter pill. There's a Burbese county and a Burbese chair, the Burbese madhouse hanging there with ghosts roll around in the empty halls, and the cries still echo around the empty walls, and the river run wild, and the river run wild, currents building up along she's spine, lullaby, 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 rock she, lullaby, 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 wash she, lullaby. Let me sing, let me sing, let me hush up the cry of the child and the woman and the old man there, sleeping still, running to the ocean is a bitter pill. She's sleeping still, running to the ocean is a bitter pill.